And my apologies for rushing in here a little bit late. I was on a phone call with the boss, and it actually was fairly pertinent to the subject today, so very timely. I'm really thrilled to be here to give you an overview of what we're doing in California, some of the challenges we're facing, and I don't think they're much different than challenges the other states are facing. I've been in meetings with my colleagues, both in the Western region and nationally, and it's amazing how similar the challenges are. is this down arrow key the right one? No, this one maybe. There we go. You got two down arrow keys here. So one thing I do love to share with people is just this quick little historical snapshot, because one of the questions I have been getting frequently since I took this position in California is, why is the president's office in Oakland? It seems like a very, very odd place to be the office of the president of the land-grant university system. But the reality is that's where the system actually began in 1868. In fact, the original site is only about a block and a half from where our current office of the president is. It wasn't until several years later that it actually moved to Berkeley, which then became UC Berkeley. And for many years, decades in fact, Davis was the farm for Cal Berkeley. And a few years after that, Riverside was one of the original agricultural experiment stations. Both Riverside and Davis did not become full University of California campuses in their own right until sometime in the late 50s. So it's a very unique and long history that we're quite proud of. And as everyone knows, the Hatch Act created the Ag Experiment Station, Smith-Lieber for extension. We try to really get folks in California to understand that both of them together are really a vast network of themselves and a variety of stakeholders who are really trying to provide science-based information on a variety of topics. And it's really important to get that message out, because increasingly, and I think I caught the tail end of Bill's presentation, a lot of our public just doesn't know it. And we're a very urbanizing state. In fact, we're an urban state in many, many ways. And people just really don't realize what the system is that we have out there. So this is just kind of a broad overview, and then I'll go into a little more detail on a few items. Our cooperative extension is in virtually every single county. Only two counties out of the 58 don't have an office, and both of them are served by nearby offices. We've also got specialists on not just the three AES campuses, but now two additional ones, UC Merced and UC Santa Barbara. And we're actually looking at placing a specialist at UC Santa Cruz within the next year or so. This is part of a push to make sure we're working ever more closely with all 10 campuses of the UC system, as well as increasingly partnering more and more with the CSU system, our community colleges, and a wide array of other partners. The Ag Experiment Station formally is two items. It's the 650-plus, and I say plus because it really ranges quite a bit. A lot of these are faculty with split appointments, and from year to year it can go from 650 to 750 almost, depending on how people are being split in their appointments. They're predominantly on the three campuses, Berkeley, Davis, Riverside. However, Davis also includes our veterinary school. Then in addition to that, a lot of AES work and some of our formula funds go into the research and extension centers. We've got nine of those scattered throughout the state, and I'll give you a little more detail on them in a second. But in addition to all of that, we've got 10 statewide programs and institutes. And these are really important because in every way, they are both a recipient of knowledge and science from the AES system, and also feed into via that mission-oriented loop of research and extension. So, for example, our Integrated Pest Management Center is statewide, and we also manage the IPM Center for the Western States. Our Ag Issues Center, many of you may be familiar with Dan Sumner and his work, does a lot of research on economics analysis. And again, all of them are pretty broad, widespread and broad throughout the state. A great example of just how that all ties together, this is the first of about 30 slides that I have commissioned my strategic communications office to put together, partially because I do need to tell the story out amongst to non-ag audiences of who we are and what we do. This is their first one. It's a great one. It shows the Citrus Research Station being established in 1905 down at Riverside, one of the very first in the state. And then it jumps up to just more recently, utilizing the Tango Mandarin as an example, something that is one of our more lucrative patents in recent years. You've probably seen them in your grocery store as Halos or Cuties, is a couple of the brand names. But, you know, they came out, the patent started being available for consumption in 07. At the same time, we started to see ACP, Asian citrus psyllid, showing up in our state, which is potentially threatening this particular crop as well as other citrus crops. But look at Tango. The consumption's doubling, the acres are increasing, the value of it's increasing. It's a great success story. But down beneath, look at all the challenges. Asian citrus psyllid, and now we've got citrus greening disease, or Wang Long Bing. And believe me, it takes you a while to wrap your tongue around that one. Wang Long Bing, I can say pretty good now. But you see that we've got, because of the AES system, we've got people and infrastructure and facilities and knowledge in place to see that coming, recognize it for the threat it is, and start quickly trying to deal with it. At a minimum, keep it in as small a footprint as possible, but hopefully cure it or eradicate it. And one of the things that's really exciting, if you look on the far right side, you're right, on the interactive detection map, we're increasingly starting to enlist citizen scientists in all of these efforts. If we can get our citizens to be part of this effort, they not only start understanding science more and the importance of it, but they understand some of the needs of you know, removing their beautiful, lovely citrus trees from their backyard, which is a very controversial thing we do in Southern California periodically. Things like parasitic wasp. So again, I'm going to have eventually 30 of these showing different highlighted things from all over the state. I believe the one they're working on now is something from Northern California about a beetle that almost completely wiped out trees and crops up there, as well as livestock, beef cattle, that we cured them of an abortion problem. They used to abort prematurely in the Central Sierra Mountains, so we're trying to figure out how to show that off, because it has literally saved the cattle industry in our state. So a little more detail on our Ag Experiment Station in general. I mentioned it's over 650 researchers, the three campuses, four schools, about 1,300 research projects annually. And our budget just this last fiscal year, USDA $4.7 million in the capacity funds. But our California legislature is fairly generous, over $104 million. Now, we love the fact they're so generous, but that actually was the topic of the phone call I was just on, because our state legislature, we've been having an ongoing issue with them, and from conversations I've had with my colleagues, I know it's not, California's not alone in this. We've got a state legislature that predominantly sees the university's role as undergraduate teaching, and pretty much only undergraduate teaching. And it's not just our legislature, our current governor, and I'm sad to say even a good chunk of our UC regents are somewhat of that opinion. And I fault ourselves. For decades now, we love to say we're the best kept secret out there. I have no idea why people think that's a good thing to say. I think it's an amazingly stupid thing to take any pride in. But my predecessors have largely kept their head down, kept out of the firing line, thinking that that was a good strategy. And the bottom line is, nobody knows what we do anymore. They don't know what we do. They don't know that for every one of those dollars they expend, we're probably bringing in a minimum $20 of value to the state. We've got research and studies showing that. But nobody's been telling them. Nobody's been pointing out to them how it affects their individual life each and every day. So right now, we're just as of last week going through a new audit from the state legislature on how AES funds are expended and what they produce. I'm happy it's not the only audit the legislature's doing. They're looking at several aspects of UC, including the office of the president itself. But nevertheless, it's one we're having to deal with, and as you know, those kind of audits taking an enormous amount of time and energy. I mentioned our RECs, the Research Extension Centers. They are very much part of our AES system. These are 9 properties scattered throughout the state, capturing almost every single sort of bioregion ecosystem type in California for research. We have two major chunks of land that the University of California owns. One, which in some ways is far better known, is our UC Natural Reserve System. Tens of thousands of acres protected and preserved as natural reserve systems. They are places where research happens, but they are very much look, don't touch. Our wrecks, on the other hand, we touch the heck out of them. We plow them, we burn them, we build on them, we uproot them in an amazing array of ways with our researchers. Researchers come to us, they have proposals, they go through a ranking, a criteria, there's a competition because unfortunately there's never enough acres or buildings or labs or land. But what we do have out there on these is all of those resources, as well as the staff to run the tractors, make sure your plants are getting irrigated, the greenhouses have their lights on, maintenance is somewhat taken up under control, although I'll get to that in a few minutes. But these are places where people can go out and do their research, including very long-term research. We have some orchard systems that are over 40 years on a couple of these wrecks. And our citrus collection down at Riverside is the largest citrus varietal collection in the world, over 1,000 varieties. People from all over the world come to utilize that. Now, we have some issues with these, but let me give you just a couple examples of how we interact. This is a drought project, 12 million plus, that is with our Kearney Rec collaborating with researchers from UC Berkeley. And more recently, Davis and Merced are also part of this, as well as CSU Fresno. It's turning into quite a large multi-stakeholder research project. Similarly, this one, which UC Merced is in the lead on, looking at healthy watersheds. How do we get to healthy forested upper watersheds in the Sierra and Cascade? Because if we could get those forested watersheds back to a healthy state, they would not only reduce fire risk, improve wildlife habitat, and improve recreation opportunities for humans, they could be producing 9 to 16% more water for the state. And those particular watersheds produce over 60% of the water California uses. As you can see, Merced, Berkeley, specialist advisors, and in this case, a very close collaboration with a multi-stakeholder think tank group, the California Roundtable for Food and Water Supply. Research goes in, these people talk about it and try to develop policy that will support good management practices and good regulations related to what we've learned in the research. As you all know, moving forward, we've got to find new technology and a variety of new processes, new best management practices, et cetera. So we're doing that in quite a few different ways. One is really trying to step up our game with a USDA partner that we don't always work with as well as we should, and that's Natural Resources Conservation Service. I'm constantly finding my UC Cooperative Extension people giving me briefings on the best management practices and new techniques, technology they're delivering, but then I discover they never take the next step to actually get it into NRCS's field office technical guide so that it then could be eligible for EQIP and other cost share funding from NRCS. I view that as practically criminal, and it is something we are definitely, myself and the state NRCS conservationists, working on very diligently to fix. We're also working more closely with understanding new ways to look at data and how to model and utilize that kind of information. And trends in natural resource and ag modeling are rapidly changing. They're getting far more complex. Because of that, we're working with a host of new partners. For example, collecting that data with drones. UC just named UC Merced Mesa Lab as the system-wide center for drone research and managing drones. We are finding just enormous ways to use these. As just one example of technology, there's many others. We're also working more closely with our statewide program, UCANR's IGIS, Informatics and Geographic Information Systems, with USDA Rural Development, Lawrence Livermore National Lab, and our state Economic Summit's Working Landscapes Action Team on how we can do regional modeling that brings together things like crops, cropping patterns, water, with transportation, housing, labor, return on investment, and tie that GIS into econometric modeling so you can do real-time what-if analysis and scenario analysis so that people have good information for good and better decision-making. In addition to that, we're starting to collaborate much more on economic development activities, because really at the end of the day, that's a big part of the whole triple bottom line: people, planet, prosperity. And although I would argue that UC Cooperative Extension and the Ag Experiment Stations in many ways are the original incubator out there for innovation and knowledge that has positively affected economic development, particularly in our agricultural sector, there's a lot more we could do. This is an example we're particularly excited about in California. This particular area of California, 28 counties, 4 regions, collaborated. And for those of you that know how difficult it is to get multiple regions to work together, they collaborated and submitted a proposal to the White House to be named as a regional manufacturing hub for food and beverage, Ag Plus Food Beverage Manufacturing Consortium. And they received that designation from the White House last fall. And what that means is we've got now over a dozen federal agencies and departments working closely with us to try to make this happen. And this is, in many ways, very exciting because it's a comprehensive plan that brings together the research and development of the higher education system with well-trained workforce, access to infrastructure, access to capital, supply lines, all the different pieces that go together to make a regional industry cluster really work. We're particularly excited about this as just one example: water. We've got research on the UC Davis campus specifically looking at how to reduce the water use in food processing. A lot of people don't realize that plate of food that you eat in front of you, that everybody loves to say how many thousands of gallons of water in it, usually more than half of that water comes from after the crop is harvested. We've got research that is actually getting that down to almost net zero in some of the research. We're working closely with the UC-wide President Napolitano's New Innovation Initiative. They are really trying to up the game to make sure that knowledge quickly gets out into the hands of innovators, entrepreneurs, potential startups, commercialization. In fact, this again is another example of why we've got to step up our game messaging. Our state legislature just recently passed, and the governor signed, $22 million for the 10 UC campuses to facilitate innovation. Do you think Ag and Natural Resources, our division, was named or called out in there? No, not even a tiny bit. So I actually went and made up this slide recently because I love to show that even though we are less than 1% of the total UC budget, we're producing about 4% of the patents that are filed. And we're not just filing patents. We're actually taking them out into commercialization. If you look at that list on the left, those items highlighted, this is a list from top to bottom of the largest patent revenue, largest entities of patent revenue throughout this UC system. Those ones in yellow were from Ag and Natural Resources. We are typically at least 9 or 10 of the top 25 grossing patent revenues in the system. And yet, most people don't know that. Again, we've just got to get that message out. So we're doing things like hosting apps for ag, which is really capturing the imagination of the younger set, and a set that typically doesn't even think about agriculture. We throw these hackers and coders into a room with young farmers and ranchers, 4-H members, FFA folks, and throw them together with all the pizza and Coke they can drink and eat for a weekend, and they come up with amazing stuff. It's truly phenomenal. In fact, out of the 4 that we have hosted so far, and we've actually hosted 2 of them at UC specifically, the other 2 have been at community colleges, our next one, we have a fight right now between UC Riverside and UC Merced over who gets to host it, because people are loving these. We've got 5 of the winners in startup phase right now. It's just phenomenal. We're very, very excited about it. In fact, one of them from the very first one in Coalinga, I just saw a presentation last week down near Coalinga. They've just received several hundred thousand dollars in venture funds and a $100,000 grant from Australia to take their app into commercialization. It's about helping farmers and laborers find each other in a much more effective way that both of them profit from. We're also recognizing the very unique role that universities can play as a boundary organization. We've known this for decades in agriculture. If you look at all of the different commodity groups we work with, and you yourself know working with farmers out there, Joe doesn't want Sam to know what he's doing on his farm because Sam might then plant earlier or do something that affects Joe's potential profits. It's something that's just, you know, ubiquitous in any business sector. But the university system has been able to work with all those players, get the data we need for research, and provide the knowledge that lets everybody thrive and prosper. We're looking increasingly at what kind of role we can play, particularly in that farm to fork or forest to furniture or any other avenue where we might be facilitating that economic development, which again is a huge popular topic for us to be working in. I have to say the legislature that is understanding our work and upping our work in economic development are thrilled. We're getting major kudos for that. But just to close out on a little bad news, this is a national problem that we're facing. California is no different. You can see above the amount of funding, the amount of investment that the U.S. has been putting into ag research has steadily been going down for decades. And China's has been going up. And I don't think it's any surprise to any of us to see what that results in the bottom graph there. Our productivity, our gross productivity in ag has increased, but pretty flat, really, compared to China. And I, for one, can't see that it's anything other than if you don't invest, you don't reap. Part of our problem, deferred maintenance. This is something that I have definitely found on all of my campuses and my facilities, anywhere from 30 to 50, even 60 years of deferred maintenance. Nationally, they claim it's $8.4 billion. I frankly think that's probably about half the true number, because I know already that we had UC Riverside did not even submit numbers, and I don't think my particular office submitted as much as they should have, and some states didn't submit anything at all. So that's a pittance. In our state, we're estimating just to get my facilities, not the campus ones, just the recs mostly and some of the county stuff, to a break-even, to a treading water, barely where we are now, is almost $50 million. And that's not actually taking us into a position where we're dealing with, it's where we have the kind of equipment and infrastructure to deal with 21st century or even 22nd century problems. One of the biggest things, and this is my last bad news slide, is just trying to figure out how to get things like internet access. I have people in county offices and even a couple of my recs that have to go home or go to Starbucks simply to do large uploads and downloads. Now, I'm pleased to say I actually need to update that slide because we have put about $1.6 million into that this past year, and we've got a strategy for the next year to get everybody at least as good as home. So that's our strategy right now. Now, look at the campuses. That's the real tall one up there. That's a UC campus. That's the kind of speed they have on a campus. I would argue we ought to have the same speed in our agricultural experiment stations and research facilities. But in closing, I'm actually very optimistic because in the short year or so I've been in this position, and I was brought in because I don't believe in that strategy of keep your head down and be quiet and hope for the best. I speak. I wave the flag. I'm saying, hey, we're here. We're doing great stuff. And we're really building our partnerships. I'm a firm believer the more we reach out, the more we leverage other resources, the more we act as a catalytic leader to bring folks together and partner, the more we can not only start solving some of our own issues, but really build that kind of alliance that is going to move all of us forward in solutions. So with that, I look forward to questions a little bit later. Thank you. Oh, you like that one? Okay.
No, stay up there. We have 3 minutes. So, do you have any questions, Glenda?
I scared him.
Well, I do. You only have 9 rackets.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a lot for such a huge agricultural state.
Yeah, but some of them are pretty large. Okay. It's almost 13,000 acres.
Okay, well, we have 14,000.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and we do partner with other facilities, and really one of the things is we don't put so much focus on our recs, which in some ways are very, very carefully controlled experimental type activities. Most of our folks, particularly in the county offices, really like that on-the-farm direct research, because then you really find out, well, okay, so if you have to harvest because you need to make a living, that's going to affect, whereas on the rec, we might not harvest so soon to get the scientific data because we're not worried about, you know, making the profit off of it. But the other thing, too, one thing I failed to mention about California that is somewhat unusual for a lot of states, our county extension advisors, our cooperative extension advisors in the county offices, are required to have an extremely robust research program. They are not just there to receive what on-campus specialists hand them and then share it out. They are very much full researchers in their own right.
On farm.
On farm and in county offices. And sometimes they're doing projects on the recs too. Mm-hmm. We've got projects going on in about almost 40 countries right now. We just recently did an inventory because UC-wide we're getting ready to have a big think day on a couple subjects, and one of them is our international role. We also are very active in, I don't know how many, but quite a few of the multi-state research projects with a variety of other states and partners. And then on our borders, of course, we have a lot of research going on with Oregon on like Klamath watershed and forest issues. Arizona, a lot of the specialty crops we grow, they grow. In fact, a lot of our farmers in California also have land in Arizona. So there's a lot of joint effort. And actually, one of President Napolitano's biggest initiatives, one of her four, one is our Global Food Initiative, which gets into the whole international, her Innovation Initiative, which I mentioned, and her carbon neutrality, which I really didn't discuss at all. But the fourth one is a UC Mexico initiative, and we're doing a great deal of partnering with Mexico, our neighbor. In fact, I'm thrilled to say Baja, Mexico, and us just had a huge event a couple months ago kicking off 4-H. So Mexico is really aggressively trying to build 4-H clubs, and we're working closely with them. So much so that my southernmost county office in Imperial County, the governor of Baja, Mexico, the governor of Ag, was in that office so often, they finally gave him his own desk and phone because it just seemed like the right thing to do. So that kind of partnering is great.
That's wonderful. Let's give him a great big hand. Thank you.